All right, so let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. So what I decided to do, you see, last week, because of this car situation, we're doing all kinds of do-si-do, I rode back with my wife. And she argued with me about the text that we were discussing. She says she didn't, but it sounded like an argument to me. Anyhow, she hates it when I do stuff like this. I'll get it when I get home, I'm sure. She will, I know, she's just that way. Beating time now, uh-oh. Okay, so, but the thing is, we were having that discussion about whether the we, and those two verses referred to Jewish saints, and then the next verses referred to Gentile saints. So she said, well, it just sounds that way. And so then I thought, well, I've got to settle this, and I'll go to the commentaries and look at this more closely. I did look at it a bit before, and I thought I had it down, and so anyway, I looked at it. And so we'll talk about that tonight. But the other thing that I got to thinking about is that we've been going through, now this is this whole section, verses 3 to 14 is one sentence in Greek. So the English translations try to turn it into sentences. And you lose a little sense of how the clauses are subordinated. Okay, and so what I've done on your sheet, I have given you the whole sentence. And I've indented the subordinate clauses so that you can see how the passage works. And we're going to try to work our way through this. And basically, I just want to review the passage. It is a tremendous statement. Okay, it's just an incredible statement. So much in it. I mean, you could preach, I don't know, I could probably preach 14 verses, messages out of this passage. There's so many things to talk about. So, anyway, so that's what I've done. I put a faint line on the page there so you could sort of see the main clauses, how they're parallel to one another. And so the first thing we're going to do is do that. So let's see. I'm not sure I have... there's the first thing I want to highlight. I don't know if you can see that very well. I hope you can see it. All right, so I want you to see, first of all, the top-level items. All right, so starting off, verse 1... Well, I guess verse 1, the first part, blessed be God, okay? Verse 3, actually, it's not verse 1. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus. So, the main sentence is, blessed be God, who has blessed us, all right? That's the main thing. And then, so the first clause is, who has blessed us, right, in 3b. First subordinate level clause. And then the next one is down in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. You see how that's right there at the edge of the line there. And then in verse 11. In whom we have... is that 11? Now I'm having trouble seeing it. Oh, that's right. Because it does... It's in the Greek. They've translated... They try to put this into... a sentence, and they say, also we have obtained an inheritance. But actually, it says there, in whom also we obtained an inheritance. In the structure of the Greek there, that in whom is right there in that sentence. So if you look at your sheet and compare it to your verse, look at verse 11. This is where this throws us a little bit off as we're trying to understand this. In the New American, it says, also we have obtained an inheritance. But notice how I have it translated on the sheet. I have, in whom also we obtained an inheritance. So for whatever reason, they choose not to translate the in whom in that verse. What does the King James? Does somebody have the King James? Okay, so the King James puts the in whom there in that clause, all right? So there's sometimes the translators, they have their reasons for making their choices. Mostly they're trying to put it into sentence structure in English so that we get, so it's a little clearer for us. But it, when you do that, you lose something of this, of all these clauses. The problem is all those clauses can be confusing. Okay? And so then the last one is in verse 13. in whom, or in him, it says in our translation, but in whom you also, after listening to the message of the truth. Right, so you see, those are the main breakouts in the passage. So, I think what we want to do is grab me one of those sheets? I didn't keep one up here. I don't have the whole thing in my notes, because they're, okay, so you can follow along in your Bible, as well as if you can sort of keep your eye on the big sheet. I want to read through the whole thing, okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, just as he chose us to be holy and blameless before him in love, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to the adoption of sons unto Jesus Christ through himself, predestining us according to the good pleasure of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he highly favored us in the beloved, in whom, that is the beloved, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which grace he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, having made known to us the mystery of his will, and again, made known according to the good pleasure which he purposed in him, for the administration of the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, all things in heaven and earth, summed up in him. In whom also we obtained an inheritance, having predestined us according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, having listened to the word of truth, that is, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you, having believed, you were sealed by the Spirit of promise, the Holy One, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession for the praise of his glory. All right, so I hope that you can see the flow of thought. Now, one thing I need to note, I put things in parentheses there on the sheet. Those things are implied. They're not in the text. They're implied by the text. So, for example, I guess not this phrase, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But you notice, if you look at the top there, I have that, having predestined us to the adoption of sons, and then I put predestining us according to the good pleasure of his will. So I put the predestining in parentheses there to show that verbal idea is connected to both clauses, at least the way I understand it. Okay? So when you see those brackets, those things, I'm just trying to help by inserting words that are implied. All right, so now I want to show, we're going to look at these connections. What I call the intraverse connections. All right, so the first one is verse 7, in whom we have, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, all right? So that's the in whom. So where does that point? Well, it points back to the beloved. That's why I have the beloved in brackets there. Okay, so this is how these different clauses are connected. They're all under the basic statement, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And then this in whom points back immediately before to the beloved. Now it could also, I didn't put this on my notes, but it could also point us back to who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. So we can point back to Christ there. So that's the connection. He's thinking about these things that God has done for us, and is tied to what the Lord Jesus did. Okay? Does everybody see that? Okay, I don't want to get too technical, but these are things that were just intriguing to me when I wrote this all out. So hope that you're getting something out of it. All right. Sure, back up. Okay. Okay. In whom the beloved is in brackets. The beloved is Christ. Okay. But I'm just, so I was trying to identify as I was laying out this translation that this whom means the beloved. So then I'm showing you it points back to the beloved there. That's okay. That's all right. Yes, Cal. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So yeah, that's part of the thing, because we want to put periods. You're reading through in the English, they've got periods, and we stop our thought and we say, okay, now we've got a new sentence. But in actually, he's just stringing these clauses along, and these ideas hit him, and he says, well, in who, and he keeps going, right? He just keeps going. Yes, James. Yes. Right. Usually when they're putting a parenthesis in the King James, what they're doing is saying this statement is not part of the main thought. It is in the original, but they're setting it off like, how would you say it? Like sometimes you'll be saying something and you have a little aside and it's not really related to what you're really saying, but you'll say this extra stuff. And that's what the parentheses, that's their interpretation. This is a parenthetical remark. Okay? So it's not part of the main thought. Now it adds a little bit more information, but yeah. So what I'm doing with the parentheses though in my little translation here is mostly just giving you information that is implied by the context. Okay? Okay, so it's a little bit different. See, this is a problem. You're reading different things. You're reading the one translation, and then you hear your pastor, and he gives you something else, and so it can get confusing. And that's why I thought, let's do this. Let's just work through this carefully and sort of get a picture of what this passage is saying. All right, Debbie, did you want to? That's right, but it's interesting. Let me think. I think in that one, if I remember right, that one is in him in the Greek. And I translated in whom to make it parallel. I think that's what I did. They all refer to Christ, yeah. Yeah, almost always, I think. So let's just go to the next one because I want to show you that one also. Okay, so now this one is down there in, this is verse 11, in whom also we obtained an inheritance. So where does this one point? Well, in whom points to in him just above. Everything is summed up in him. Or it could point back to in Christ. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Or you could put it with the other clause there. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so we're carrying on. So he's finished that thought of what he thought of Christ, but then he's thinking how things are all, and in whom we've also obtained an inheritance. So the inheritance comes into his mind. And that comes through Christ as well. So he just keeps going. Okay. All right. Is that one clear? All right. So let's go to the last one. All right. And this is the one in verse 13. In whom you also, that one points back to the in Christ in the verse before. Okay, having predestined us according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, having listened to the word of the truth, and so on. Okay, so there is that, you know, all the way through, he's thinking about these blessings. The blessings come through they come from the Father, through Christ, and applied by the Spirit. And he emphasizes each of these persons of the Trinity through this whole section. And he's thinking about this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he starts thinking about that. And he just keeps on going with what all those spiritual blessings are. And just phrase after phrase after phrase, expanding his thought. All right? All right, now, any comments on that so far? You seeing the linkages that I'm seeing? Okay, so now let's see, what am I going to do next? I guess I still have one more thing on this. And, okay, what, I do have one thing I'm not certain about in my outline. I want to show you this here. And, okay, so if you see those phrases there, it's right in the middle. Okay, where it says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, and then you see those other two parallel up right at the door, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses. Now, I put according to the riches of his grace underneath that, and then I put having made known to us the mystery of his will underneath the forgiveness of his trespasses. So I'm not sure. That one could move over one level and be parallel. Okay, parallel with redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of trespasses. I'm not sure, because these could be another thought. It's really not, I'm not certain. I can see it both ways. So I'm just thinking through this passage and giving you all my thoughts as I think through it. Okay? There's one more thing I want to show you about this outline before we move on to the controversial question of last week. Alright, so it's these in whom's. Alright, so this is related to our last point tonight. Okay, so in whom? I am seeing a subdivision of the passage around these phrases. Starting at the beginning, you have God who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But notice, because all those in whom's, those are parallel. And so then, but before we were breaking the passage down to the praise of his glory. And so, I have two in whom's in that middle section. So, is it four units or three units? I don't know. Okay, you can look at it both ways. I mean, and part of our, you know, the way we approach the scriptures, we want to make everything orderly. We want to understand everything completely. And Paul is speaking dynamically or writing dynamically, or maybe he's dictating dynamically to his amanuensis. And he's just like it's flowing. And, don't you think that would be a wonderful thing if you were the guy taking Paul's dictation and Paul's giving you this stuff? I mean, you'd have to be writing fast. But can you imagine hearing him say this? That would be something. Okay. And he's just going on and you're just trying to keep up. That would be something. All right. Yes, Maureen, you look like you have a question. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that is. Yeah, Cal, you wanna? Okay, where's that? Yes, and I can't remember all the text in that, so I. Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure how I came up with that one. So I think it is different. I think it's a different structure. Yes. Yeah. 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 And then that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's the thing is, so the whole, his whole concept of God is fully displayed here, and his work is being extolled for the work of grace in our hearts through salvation. This is what God has done for us. And so there's a lot, like I said, you know, you could break this down and talk about almost each one of these phrases as a sermon by itself. There's a lot of things to say about this. But of course, most people don't have that kind of time. All right? And so we're just doing it. This is message four on it, and we'll move on to the next time. All right, so let's talk about this controversial section, the we versus the you. All right, so I've just put that part of the outline on the screen, but on the back of your page I have some quotes and notes for you to follow. Okay, so on the back of your handout. The first one is Grant Osborne's comment on this. He says, there's considerable debate as to the meaning of verses 1:11-14. Many believe that the we of verses 11 to 12 are Jewish believers and the you verses 13 to 14 are Gentile believers, signifying the unity of the two groups in Christ and the church. Others feel it is stylistic, with the emphasis on all believers, we, and then the specific readers of this letter, you. This is a difficult decision, and either is viable. However, while I spent most of my teaching career opting for the first view, since I do not see the Jew-Gentile issue addressed until chapter 2, verse 11, I now think the latter view is more likely. Paul is continuing his emphasis on God's salvific gifts and recapitulating the blessings to all Christians he mentioned earlier. So he used to hold the view that the we was the Jewish believers and the you is the Gentile believers. Okay? So now here's one. This is William MacDonald from the Believer's Bible Commentary. He takes it Osborne's old way. One vital feature of the mystery is that believing Jews and believing Gentiles have their share in this grand program of God. The apostle speaks of the mystery in relation to Jewish believers in verses 11 and 12, and in relation to Gentile believers in verse 13. Then he combines them both in verse 14. So let's look at the text. He gives a little bit different wrinkle to this. So let's think about it this way. So in whom, verse 11, we have attained an inheritance, having been tested according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. Now, you can say, you read that and you can say, well, that idea about we who were the first to hope in Christ, that is a phrase that really does argue strongly for the idea that he's talking about Jewish believers here. Or that you could use to argue strongly, let's say. But then he says, okay, so MacDonald says, he makes it then in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that is the Gentile believers, you see? Alright, the way he's taking it. And then verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, so that's everybody. Okay, so you could take it that way. Okay, you could take it that way. Now, I can see points in favor of both views. So, I discovered that the in whom of verse 7 and verse 13 also appears in verse 11. So there is this parallel. That's why I'm saying, well, maybe we shouldn't be breaking this passage down by to the praise of his glory, but rather by the in whom's. Okay, now, here is this. It is true that in 2:11, Paul brings up the distinction between Gentile believers and Jewish believers. So I put 2:11 in your notes. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. So there he's starting to bring up that distinction, the former distinction between Jew and Gentile. And he's going to say we're all one in Christ. Okay, that's how that passage is going to go. All right. Now, the slight distinction that we are seeing here in verses 11 to 12, verses 13 in chapter 1, could be a preview of that topic. Okay, so that's the argument. However, I want you to notice, look at your text in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. So we have a we passage in verse 7. Alright, so that one is clearly everybody. So, it's not an exclusive blessing for Jewish believers. So, I'm sort of torn. The phrase, we who were first to trust in Christ, does suggest the idea of this. He's talking about Jewish believers there. But it's not absolutely clear. All right, so here's the thing, my conclusion. Either way, our God has blessed all believers with every spiritual blessing. So we can be confident of our destination and the glorious future we hold because of the work of Christ for us. Now, why do I bring this up? Why do I think it's worth discussing and just talking about this? I was talking to Colin about this on the way in. The thing is, it's not absolutely clear. You can read it and take it one way, or you can read it and take it the other way. And so this is one of those ambiguities in the scripture where we can come to a view of what he's saying, but we shouldn't hold it dogmatically and think other Christians are wrong if they take the opposite view. Because there's a legitimate way of taking the opposite view. Okay? So I bring it up because it is a point that is something for us to search out and meditate on in our own personal walk with God. It really ultimately isn't going to make any difference as to what kind of blessings we have in our spiritual salvation. Our curious minds just want to know. So we work at it and think about it. And then we read arguments about it and we say, oh, okay, so that's my argument. I like that one. I'm going to take that one. And we come to a conclusion. If you are of a mind to do so. Some of you might say, I don't care. Okay? Okay? And the thing that I'm wanting to point out is, when the Bible is not absolutely clear like this, then if we have a view that's slightly different from our brothers, we should be somewhat less than dogmatic. And so, I mean, it's fine to state your view, but to say, well, this is the way I'm taking it, but I realize it's not absolutely clear in this passage. Okay, so that's my rendition of that argument. Any questions or comments on that? James?
Yeah, well, I just sort of thinking, because it specifically says in chapter 2, verse 11, you know, he specifically references the Gentiles.
Yes.
You would think that were he to have a distinction in chapter 1, wouldn't he specify it as well?
See, that's another argument for saying it that way, yeah. See, so you could say, well, he's not actually coming up to that argument yet. He's going to bring that up later. So that's one way of looking at it. Okay. All right. So Maureen, want to?
Well, so then if you're saying, like, if it's not clear, I mean, does it really, like, to me, it's sort of like, I don't care. Exactly. Because the thing that is clear is that we have spiritual blessings in Christ.
Right.
And it's very clear that that's what...
That's the point of the passage.
The point of the passage,
that's right,
is for us to rejoice in,
that's right,
our amazing salvation.
Yes, that's the point of the passage, is for us to rejoice in our amazing salvation. And so we shouldn't get too hung up on this. One of the things about this that was a little jarring to me, as I was studying it though, I'm reading Tom Constable, who I very much like. And he is strongly states, this is, the verse 11 and 12 are speaking about the Jewish Christians, and then verse 13 is the Gentile Christians. All right, so, well, that's his view. And I thought, what in the world? That's crazy. So then I read this other commentary, and he said the same thing. Let me find one who doesn't say that. And so that's the thing. It's fine, and it's fine for us to state our views and give our reasons for them. But my point is, we have to be able to recognize if we're thinking about a passage and we're really trying to be really careful with it, we should listen to what other people say and then form our own conclusions. And the reason you might say that, Tom, see that, for example, Tom Constable is a guy I recommend to you all the time. So I don't agree with him all the time. And so you might read that and maybe it shocks you and say, well, I don't see that. Then you think, whoa, pastor recommends this guy. Okay? So that's the point. These are areas where sometimes we come to very strong conclusions about something and we're not quite, but we shouldn't be quite so strong. We come to our own conclusions, but not be quite so strong as to say, to imply that other people are just not as smart as we are. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. So it's creating an attitude of humility. The main point of the passage is our great blessing of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful passage. All right, any last comments? Gordon?
Just note, you had mentioned in verse 7, the we.
Yes.
Means all of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But also in verse 12, mm-hmm, there's another we.
Yes.
That means all of us.
Let's see here.
We should be to the praise of his glory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, we who were first to hope in Christ. See, that first to hope in Christ is the part that
we have obtained. So that's what you're getting, two we's.
Yeah.
On one side.
I know. And the little piggy said, we all the way home.
There's too many we's.
There's too many we's.
But couldn't you also take it that it's the we as in he's just saying, he's talking about people who first, like, at order and time in the a Christian church. Like, I'm with these people that trusted in Christ first, and that you guys were came along.
He could be saying that. He could be saying that.
It's not necessarily a Christian.
Well, the order though was Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians.
Well, that's true too.
See, so that's this is where it comes up, and it could be they could be right in saying this is a preview of the Jewish Gentile issue. But I don't want to be absolutely dogmatic because there are a couple other things in the passage that make me say, well, maybe. That's not the main point of the passage. You see? Rob?
Again, not that it matters, but the audience is primarily a Gentile audience for the Ephesians, right?
So yes.
That's where I sort of have always thought of Jews and Gentiles.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, it's a thing that my point is, let's not miss the main point of the passage by getting hung up on a minor detail that is not absolutely clear. Okay? So that's the big thing that I'm trying to teach with this. I'm also trying to teach the beauty of this passage. What a passage. I mean, what a passage. And think of the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's incredible. The grace of God towards sinners.
Hopefully she doesn't argue with us about this.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope not. But I'm going to be in trouble for bringing up her name. I know that.
It was a nice long apology.
It was a nice long apology, yes. I appreciate your support. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We have great grace and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you again for tonight, for being able to look at this passage again. Thank you for the beauty of your word and how it just speaks so clearly about the blessings that you have given us. Lord, help us to live up to them. Help us not to be selfish. Help us not be proud. Help us not to be pushing for our own way. Lord, I pray that we will push for your way and for walking with you. We pray these things in